On special music this morning, Debussy's Syrinx for solo flute will follow the reading of Wendell Berry's beloved poem, The Peace of Wild Things. The Peace of Wild Things. When despair grows in me and I wake in the middle of the night at the least sound, in fear of what my life and my children's lives may be, I go down and lie where the wood drake rests in his beauty on the water, and the great heron feeds. I come into the peace of wild things who do not tax their lives with forethought of grief. I come into the presence of still water, and I feel above me the day-blind stars waiting for their light. For a time, I rest in the grace of the world and am free. It is my pleasure to turn the remaining part of the service over to Suzanne Riles, who is going to share with us some of her thoughts. Suzanne has many, many thoughts about our sacred grove and our own wildness right here in our own backyard. So we're going to hear some of them now. Welcome, Suzanne.
Good morning.
Good morning.
As anyone can see, our location here is extremely beautiful and awe-inspiring because of the hundreds of tall trees on our property. Even in the Pacific Northwest, finding the wild can be a tricky thing, but you have found it here in this place. So as I talk, I encourage you to gaze out the windows and enjoy. Imagine what it would be like to walk out there later for a breath of fresh air. Prior to the arrival of humans in our area, great megafauna roamed. Mother Nature sometimes sent wildfires racing through the trees and meadows during dry summers. Then the first human stewards of our land arrived, journeying across the Bering Sea land bridge and down through Canada. Over generations and thousands of years, some of these travelers settled here and became the Native American tribes of the Tualatin Valley and Portland area. These are their names again, place names to us now: the Multnomah, Clackamas, Chinook, Kalapuya, Kathlamet, and Mulala tribes, and others. Where I grew up in Astoria, the Clatsop Indians greeted Lewis and Clark. Left to its own devices, land like ours tended to grow over in Douglas fir and western red cedar. The native people saw the value of nature's fires for promoting an optimal food supply. They learned to set their own fires occasionally in order to promote habitat more suitable for the grazing deer and elk that they hunted, and for berries and other edibles to thrive. Way back then, Buff land may have been meadow, but in a hilly area like this, I think our land was probably dense forest at the time that the first white settlers arrived in the early 19th century. Let me return to Asia and introduce the Japanese concept of forest bathing. My information on this subject comes from a book called Forest Bathing: How Trees Can Help You Find Health and Happiness, by Dr. Ching Li. Notice the Chinese name. When Don and I visited Japan in 2009, we learned that there are many Chinese Japanese living in Japan. Dr. Li is the chairman of the Japanese Society for Forest Medicine, and his book was published in 2018. Here is some of what Dr. Li has to say. The concept that humans have a biological need to connect with nature has been called biophilia from the Greek, meaning love of life and the living world. Because we evolved in nature, we have a biological need to connect with it. We love nature because we learn to love the things that helped us to survive. We feel comfortable in nature because that is where we have lived for most of our life on Earth. We are genetically determined to love the natural world. It is in our DNA. And this affinity for the natural world is fundamental to our health. Contact with nature is as vital to our well-being as regular exercise and a healthy diet. The sound of the forest, the scent of the trees, the sunlight playing through the leaves, the fresh, clean air. These things give us a sense of comfort. They ease our stress and worry, help us to relax and to think more clearly. Being in nature can restore our mood, give us back our energy and vitality, refresh and rejuvenate us. Feel our very wise seventh UU principle calling us to admire and respect the powerful interdependent web of all existence of which we are a part. For a longer forest bath, I will be leading a walk through the paths in back of our buildings at 12:15. This gives you time to enjoy coffee downstairs for a few minutes and then meet out here on the patio to take a walk on the wild side. But you don't have to wait for me. The paths are paved with wood chips and comfortable to walk on. Bathe in forest magic and inspiration on your own here at WUF anytime. We are so lucky to have this magnificent asset handed down to us from the founders of WUF.
So how did Fluff get to steward this particular place of trees? We are indeed shaded by trees we did not plant, but also by some trees that we did plant. Our first Fluff stewards of this land, our visionary founders, purchased the first parcel of our land in 1959 for $1,900 and a second lot in 1964 adjoining it for an additional $5,000. So a total of about $7,000 to buy all this 2.7 acres. They were big outdoors people, our founders, and liked the look of this site. Photos in our Fluff history book, 50 years of fellowship, some of you have seen this before, show some trees back then, but none in the front of the building. There are very tall trees out there now. Today, our 2.7 acres, on our acres, we have more than 200 trees, dominated mostly by Douglas firs plus cedars, with some ranging in height from 130 to 180 feet tall. I am told that these big trees could live for another 100 or 200 years. Although untreated, some of them are likely to develop disease or fall in the wind, which would be natural. There is an understory of maples, cherries, filberts, sword ferns, Oregon grapes, salal, other shrubs and trees, and one very special yew tree. Native plants dominate, but as today's stewards, we don't hesitate to get rid of ill-behaved natives, and we do plant some non-native plants. Sue Alperin is one Fluff Forest steward who has planted and helped to plant a number of things at Fluff over the years. Sue has a map of what was planted where at one time and can tell you a lot about our plants. Thanks a lot, Sue. Being a good steward of our land isn't all good news, though. Sometimes we have to figure out what to do about bad news. About 15 years ago, our then president, an employee of the U.S. Forest Service, Jim Merzenich, hired a contractor who diagnosed laminated root rot in about a dozen or more of our big Douglas firs on the south side of our property. These big firs had to be taken out in order that the rot not spread to our other trees. We had some of the wood milled and installed as baseboards in the coffee room and forest hall. The cleared area is now difficult to find because deciduous understory trees have filled in the space. In case you are curious, let me tell you a little about myself and how I came to be a steward of our land. I wasn't always so involved with the grounds. For most of my 33 years here at Fluff, I just participated in the occasional work party and let it go at that. Mostly, I volunteered in religious education in those early years when my kids were young. Meanwhile, at my own home, taking care of the yard gradually led to my becoming an obsessed gardener of the inexpert but enthusiastic kind. I learned by trial and error what things can survive, and most of all, how to build an environment that pleases me. Years before, after I went to college from Astoria seeking a son, I lived out of state for 18 years and became increasingly homesick for Oregon. The great sweep of our forests and the broad white beaches along our ocean were a big part of that, and our political climate, and most of all, I missed my big family that lives here. When I would step off the airplane in those years, breathing in the smell of trees that seeped into the jetway, my heart would swell with emotion and drama as I headed home for visits. I finally got to come back home permanently when I became a single parent. I had been a UU for a number of years at that point, and Fluff was just the UU community I needed in Portland. Two other single mothers became my friends, Gloria Schnell and Gretchen Kerger, now Meyer. Everyone at Fluff was friendly, and within months I met my husband John at a potluck. We have been married for 30 years now. Partly because it just has to be done if you own a house, gardening snuck up on me and became a major outlet for my need to be creative and my daily need to spend time in the outdoors. Other people may think of taking a hike in the gorge, say, when they want to be outside. For me, all I have to do is step out my own back door and there it is, a creek behind our house and the world of plants and open air where I can get my hands dirty and lose all track of time. These days, I'm learning to sit quietly for minutes at a time out there, to soak in the sounds and sights and smells and feel the quality of the air that day. Air is always changing. There are heady times as the seasons change when I feel that my plants are speaking to me, telling me what they need. What I have needed more of in recent years, because I am growing older and frailer and more often sick with little ailments, is to make my garden easier to maintain. This has actually been a fun goal to pursue. So a few years ago, as I was having some success at making my own garden easier to maintain, children long ago raised and out of the house, I began to notice that what big trees needed attention for the good of general safety and accessibility, and also for the health of the grove itself. Others at WUF were noticing this too. Seeing myself as a gardener made me willing to take on the challenge of stewardship in our grove, so I was ready to say yes when last year I was asked to help with the ground. Now that it has been a year, I realize that I'm just beginning to figure things out and there are many directions we could go. I can use all the help I can get. Please let me know if you see anything amiss or have any bright ideas. This land is your land. Your information is helpful. Since I became co-chair for grounds last year, we took down a number of nuisance trees, installed a new playground structure funded by a cattle raise. Our renters, the Woodhaven preschool parents, built a new little play area near the RE office. And we made the grove more open, attractive, and accessible to adults who can walk on woodshed paths. There is a monthly work party with high-quality refreshments that has accomplished amazing things. Many of us here at WUF have embraced grove stewardship activities with enthusiasm. Mary Beth Allen carved out a section along the back fence for meditation. Cooks at Columbus got the granite sign at the driveway cleaned. Chalice circles have opted to have special work parties to clear springtime weeds. There are other examples like this, each unique. When WUF members want to pursue an idea on the grounds, we mostly say yes and thanks. Special thanks go to Rick Tangeman and his chainsaw. Rick is also an ace at getting rid of yellow jacket nets, and thanks to Megan Essler, who knows how to get rid of poison oak. We don't think there is any poison oak out there now, thanks to Megan. A number of new projects might be addressed this coming year. We will install some benches to remember past members of the congregation. There is now a standalone grounds committee, and I would like to initiate a grounds advisory group to discuss priorities. So contact me if you are interested in advising, or refer me to someone if you think they would like to be invited. I promise we won't meet often. In addition, it would be very helpful to have people volunteer as ground project managers. Some of the things we need to do are complex, and I need help. Gardening or landscape or home maintenance experience is useful. Speaking of project management, I am proud to report that efforts have just begun to submit a renewal application to continue our Green Sanctuary accreditation by the UUA. Here at WUF. Martin Burka is helping to manage that. Don Merrick is sharing files and answering questions about his original campaign to achieve accreditation in 2011. So expect to hear more about Green Sanctuary reaccreditation projects later this year. My own pet project is uncovering sword ferns. We have many of these straight out from our buildings and all over our property. When encouraged, they bloom up from the forest floor like big prehistoric fountain-shaped flowers, if we can just free them from the vines and fallen debris all over them. It sounds simple, but each fern takes some time. You might adopt a special area and just tend the ferns in that place. Alexa Chittick adopted several ferns in this area this spring, and they are just gorgeous right now. Most of all, come enjoy working with other volunteers. It's fun. I am bowled over by the power of our work parties to get things done. What we had at this time last year, compared to what things are like all over our property now, is a world of difference because of work party volunteers. Thank you very much. Also, my work party philosophy isn't harsh at all. When you volunteer at a grounds work party, I believe that you should take it easy, especially at first. Only do as much and what you want to do. Take rest or do something different when certain muscles start to ache or you just need a break. Come for only a short time if that is best for you. Quit entirely if you need to. Enjoy what you are doing so that you will want to volunteer again. Finally, I remind you again of our UU seventh principle. Each of us is part of the interdependent web of all existence. Each of us has stewardship of small parts of this planet just by virtue of being alive. What you do or don't do will have a significant impact. As Jane Goodall, the famous chimpanzee researcher, has said, what you do makes a difference, and you have to decide what kind of difference you want to make. It may not seem like much, but our backyards and small pieces of urban land like our grove help to absorb carbon from the polluted air and to reduce surface temperatures by casting shade. Keeping this land healthy will maximize its benefit to Earth's atmosphere. Let's show our gratitude to our founders and early stewards of this land by actually using it to settle our minds, refresh our bodies, and connect to the wider planet. Thanks for listening, and happy Fourth Day, Nancy. We do have time for some questions, and I brought a notebook and a pen in case you want to make suggestions about what needs doing or anything about the land outside.
I'll come around, so put your hands up as we, as you are so moved.
I guess this is not about the wilderness. I just wanted to thank whoever put those new lights out in the front by the walk.
That would be Rick Tandeman.
Rick Tandeman did that. That was long overdue, and he, boy, those are nice.
Great. I'm taking a note. Thanks to Rick. I don't think Rick's here today.
No, they're camping.
Oh.
Out in the wilderness.
Perfect.
In the wild.
I'm not sure I've seen the monthly work parties in the, you know, what's happening this week.
Schedule.
So.
Well, we do take a break in the summer from work parties, which I begin to wonder about the wisdom of that now that I can see what it looks like in late August about work parties. But that has been our practice. Our plan is to have work parties on first Saturdays from 9 to 12. Possibly later in the winter when it gets really cool. Well, last year we took a break. We did not have work parties after Thanksgiving. Our last work party was middle of November. We took off for December and January because of the weather and because of the holidays. And then we added a couple of work parties in June, which were from not regular work parties, but that's how the schedule is supposed to work. First Saturday from 9 to 12.
Hi. I just wanted to say thank you so much to you, Suzanne. Not only are you taking on this major role to help in our grove, but I find that you provide inspiration. There was one day where I was wondering if I could create a special little place out in the woods because that's my favorite place to meditate, and I hadn't even thought about it. And you encouraged me, and we took a little walk through the grove until I found a spot that just felt quite right to me. And I just have this wonderful feeling of connection now. I always felt connected, but that really encouraged me to feel even more connected to our grove. And I welcome everyone to wander the path, and it's pretty obvious which little spot it is. There's a little tree stump sitting next to a tree, and someone has placed some benches there. And I welcome anyone to go and just sit and enjoy the woods back there. So everyone who has a feeling for our grove and doesn't know quite what to do, see Suzanne, go for a walk with her, and you'll become inspired.
Yeah, you can have a little piece of it all your own. And watch for benches in the year coming up.
First of all, a statement of truth in our casting. This is not a plant. I do have a...
John is my husband.
I do have a question about whether or not there's been any thoughts about some kind of a memorial area. I've visited a couple of different UU congregations that do have a an area specifically reserved for memorializing members that have been there.
Well, there has been, there were times when we called this area out here the Memorial Garden. Sue may well know more about this than I do. She's been involved with the Grand Lions.
There were several of us who were on a committee. The board authorized us to hire landscape designers to create a memorial space out here, which we did. We interviewed three different companies or individuals and chose a plan. It's somewhere around here, I hope, because we paid them money. And then the board decided they didn't have money to do it. So it's probably something, if you want, you need to talk to the board or contribute money or something. It wouldn't be terribly expensive, but it would have incorporated this area where we felt would be kind of central to everybody.
And there are plantings out there. There are hydrangeas and a camellia and a magnolia and some ferns. But I gather they're not a part of the plan.
No, they're not. People just put them there.
Yeah.
Which is what happens with a lot of our landscaping.
Right.
Since I have the mic, Suzanne, I just want to say thank you for all you're doing. I've worked on the ground for years and years, but I must say, when we have these work parties, a lot of people are over 60, and I see most of our young families are not here today, but I really hope
that... Well, the Woodhaven people.
Yeah, when they come, then it lowers the average age by a lot. But I do encourage our younger members, because some of us are getting a little old to do all this physical work.
Now, Felipe, don't forget to bring I won't forget that I'm back here. Okay.
Hi.
Hello.
Last year, I submitted some sketches, and the sketches were...
I still have those for you.
Oh, good.
I still have them.
I think if you're looking for me to facilitate my idea, I would need some help doing that. The design included seven stumps, which represented the seven principles of the church. And it also included river rock with water resistant felt tip markers that you could stop and write a message, and then you leave your stone on a stump or a log. And that could be anything like a date. Something that's close to your heart. It could be even a heart that you draw. Maybe it's love. Maybe it's hope. Maybe it's whatever is inspiring you at that moment by the truth. Maybe you draw a leaf and leave that behind. So that was sort of a meditation area also, but cognizant of the fact that we have children, that we didn't want the rocks to disappear. So, but they could also be involved. The kids could actually...
If what you're doing is suggesting that you be a project manager for that project this coming year, yes.
Well,
you may.
I said,
this is great. I'll help you. I won't just turn
you
in.
Right.
You know, we can work together.
We had walked the area and we found this spot, but I don't know that it's the right spot. So I think we need to revisit the area that we might put that in. And that was one of the places we thought about putting a bench in, that you could just sit and meditate also, just in a different form than right that. And the other thing that I've done is I have purchased a wind chime to put into the grove. And the purpose of that was that when Mother Earth's gentle winds are blowing through the forest, that she would have a more melodic voice to her breath. I have not given that to anybody yet. It's probably home in a closet.
I've made a note of it, Denise. Thanks a lot.
And I've been to several UU churches where outside they've had a labyrinth
that you can walk
and
meditate on.
Thank you, and we have not rejected that idea.
And just a question, is the church history still available to be purchased?
Are there still copies?
Yes, there are copies.
Okay, there are. It's good.
Yes, there are. So, if there's one last question, we'll take it, but we're about ready to end.
This is more of a comment than a question. So
okay.
here I go again. I think we need to be careful about our grove. The more we manage it, groom it, make some things in it, the further we move it away from wilderness. Wilderness is wild. It's not managed.
Mm-hmm.
When it becomes managed, it becomes a little less wild. And that's fine.
That is the balance we're trying to strike.
I think we need
to. We don't want it to be too tame.
Right.
This is one reason we have not pursued the labyrinth idea quite. At first, when I took this role a year ago, that was my first walk. I wanted the labyrinth. And it became apparent. I listened to a lot of labyrinths and talked to people who know about labyrinths and read up on it. And I'm still not rejecting the idea entirely. But it would require a lot of tending to the ground in such a way as to make it less permeable for the trees. And the trees need a kind of a soft environment most places we have paths. So it's not like we are going to change it to backyard or something like that. It's not going to be like a backyard. It's never going to be like that. And another reason why it would never be, I'm not rejecting the idea of labyrinth. I think it could be that our paths could create an unconventional labyrinth, so to speak. And there's a possibility of changing where the paths are. But the other consideration is maintenance. As the person who's the chair for grounds, I'm painfully aware of what it takes to maintain. And there is a budget for this committee, but it's not very big. And we do wish we got more people for our work parties, although it's been fabulous. I mean, the work parties we've had have gotten so much done. But the more you have special features, the more maintenance concerns arise. And we don't actually have the money or the willingness to volunteer to an infinite degree. It's those resources are finite. So I want to assure people that we're not going to be changing our grove radically, you know. My biggest goal is to make it accessible to people and to keep it healthy and to not injure ourselves or the neighbors, maintain safety. And we have some big safety issues that are going to have to be dealt with. Some of our trees are known to be diseased. Each taking a tree down all the way to the ground, one of our biggest firsts would be thousands of dollars. We don't have that kind of money. So, as you can see, I could talk like this forever. Our grounds and our goals.
Hi, I'm Susan Fulmeyer, and as some of you know, I into photography. And what I'd like to offer would be a photo shoot, which I would lead for. I would like to have it be young people that are interested in photography and just be in this area.
Oh, that'd be wonderful.
I'd like to do a lot of close-ups, but I'm open to the imagination that anybody has, which might be a lot better than mine. So you might think about how we could do that.
The imaginations are already at work.
Yes.
Well, good. Thank you, Suzanne. We appreciate everything we've heard.
Yes.